Morning, Roberto. In Yonke's absence, there's some learning. It's chus of refuah shleima of Yosada ben Chayla b'soch Oruch Ule Yisrael. So we finished halachas of 3 weeks and then 9 days and the 10th of Ov. And the next item on the calendar is Shabbos Nachamu. And also Tu B'Av, which this year fall together at the same time, same day. So next Shabbos, Shabbos Nachamu. And Tu B'Av. So go through the Nitzah Gavriel, a few things it says on Shabbos Nachamu. Mr. Shem, the next few days, so if we'll come on to Tu B'Av as well. Says the Nitzah Gavriel. Shabbos Nachamu. Minuk Anshe Ma'as Salasape Saras Rosham Erev Shabbos Nachamu. People in particular to have haircuts on Erev Shabbos Nachamu. Doesn't say why, he just brings it from Sefer Minuk Tov. And he adds there, Erev Shabbos Nachamu chayv l'sape, chayv to have a haircut, l'sameach gufo, to make your body happy, u'lekabel Shabbos b'simcha, uva tov levov, and to receive Shabbos with joy and with a good heart, and to be comforted with the many comforts. Roilis aneg b'Shabbos Nachamu yosin b'shar Shabbos ha'shana sheb mitzvah la'aseh sikiyomtev. It's a mitzvah to enjoy, to make this Shabbos more enjoyable than the rest of the year. And in fact, make it like a yontif. Where does that come from? So first of all, the Sefer from a Talmud of the Rashba called the Ben Shaviv, and the Yosef Omitz, and the Maril, which says, Yismuchu kol om v'yiftuchu b'nechamas b'yos ha'goel. Everyone should be comforted to know that the goel is coming. And the Ritva says in Tarnis, Daf Lamed on the base, Mipnei zeh, and because of this, Nagu lasa suda b'shabbos shachal yot Tisha B'Av. One should make a special suda on the Shabbos after Tisha B'Av. Maybe because of this, minig chasidim lisa el rabom le Shabbos Nachamu. Maybe that's why chasidim go to their rebbe on Shabbos Nachamu. And apart from that, we also know they have a lot of singles weekends, also Shabbos Nachamu. This is the beginning of the Nechamo process. One more little thing, then we'll carry on tomorrow. Chazal tikne shikru parshas voeschana be Shabbos acharei Tisha B'Av. Chazal instituted we read as voeschanan after Tisha B'Av. So don't we always read it after Tisha B'Av? So no, the order is very important. Just like we have before Shavuos, we want to make sure the klolos are read before Shavuos from Lechu Kosai, and then we come into Shavuos without the klolos behind us. When you come to Rosh Hashanah, you've got the klolos of Kisovo there behind us, and you come on to Rosh Hashanah. So over here as well, with Tisha B'Av, we have the Musa, which Moshe Rabbeinu gives in Devarim. So dissolve all the thing that tells people off. Plus you've got the Musa of Tisha B'Av and you've got the Musa of Chazon Yeshayahu. And now we come on to...
The laning on verse Khan includes the Tisha B'Av laning, yeah. Which is sort of going backwards.
Yeah. So all amalgamates all together. All comes together. It's all part of the same thing. So we'll carry on tomorrow in Mitz Hashem. Started at the Turway, Northwest London, Tuesday, Yud Aleph Ov, 5th of August, Rabbi Shmuley Noe, Shlita, Halachas of Zeichel Churban. This week's Torah has been sponsored by Benny Grossman of Nishmas, Rabbi Chaim Yosef Ben, Rabbi Socha Dov, from the Rochel, whose Yahrzeit is on Yud Gimel Av on Thursday. L'schus HaShavuim V'Chayolim V'Milchamo, Sheyach Zulu V'Tayim L'Shalom B'Mheiro.
Amen. Morning to everyone. Very nice to be back here again. It's the beginning of the summer holidays. I'll just start by saying that I always find these days immediately after Tisha B'Av is quite a strange time. So on the one hand, a few days ago we had Tisha B'Av where we were sitting on the floor and mourning and crying and saying the kinnas and reading Eichel together. And then within a few hours, people are already beginning to pack up and they're traveling and they're heading off to their holidays. And the juxtaposition between Tisha B'Av and the days of Avelus, and then all of a sudden we're heading off to holidays, is something which is interesting and sometimes hard to hold. And chasness, yeah. We automatically go back to washing and music and chasness and meat. Someone sent me a photo yesterday of a big washing machine, a barbecue next to it, and speakers with a sign saying it's now chatzos. So we move quickly from mourning to a totally different time and a totally different atmosphere. So perhaps we can explain this with a vort that the Koshrit Samagid writes in Parshas Devarim. The Koshet Samagid in Avodas Yisrael, he says that why is it the Chazal told us to wear tefillin on Tisha B'Av by Mincha time? Right? So we know on Tisha B'Av we're like an oval, Rachmanson doesn't wear tefillin until after the Kavura. So the Koshet Samagid explains as follows. He says that in the morning of Tisha B'Av, that's a Zman of Avelus. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu is like a father to Klal Yisrael. And just like a father sometimes has to tell off his children, and the Koshet Samagid says sometimes a father has to take a stick and make sure his children learn right from wrong. But then afterwards, a few hours later, the father takes the child, and the father tells the child that, you know, really I love you, and I'm only doing this for your best, and I care about you, and I want you to know right from wrong, and don't ever doubt for a second that as your father, I love you very, very much. Says the Koshet Samagid, the same thing goes to Klal Yisrael. On Tisha B'Av Taka in the morning, we sit on the floor, and we're upset and we're sad. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us never to forget that besides the morning and besides the Avelus, He also loves us as a father loves his children. And therefore, Tisha B'Av afternoon, we immediately put our tefillin on. And tefillin is, like the Gemara in Brachah says, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu also wears tefillin. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu's tefillin says, Mika Amcha Yisrael. So therefore, immediately, Tisha B'Av after Chatzos, that's the beginning of a time of closeness and a time. The Lashon of Yisrael is, L'chein le'es erev, when it comes to the evening, Hu menachim es alma Yisrael, Hu marlem es skarvus b'yad yaminoi. HaKadosh Baruch Hu shows Klal Yisrael his skarvus with his yad yamin. Other halachas we find, Tisha B'Av after Chatzos, we no longer sit on the floor, and the Kolbe brings an interesting minig that many ladies used to clean the houses and wash their hair, and there were gedolim that felt this was totally inappropriate. How can you do this on Tisha B'Av afternoon? But he explains it was to show the belief of Mashiach. V'cholu, while Kaponim et Hiskarvus, like Kaponim shows Klal Yisrael from Tisha B'Av afternoon. So perhaps it makes a lot of sense that yes, we have a Tisha B'Av. Immediately after Tisha B'Av, we go into the August holidays because it's Hiskarvus. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is showing us that yes, there's mourning, yes, there's Avelus, but also HaKadosh Baruch Hu is being Makarvus with Yad Yeminoi and showing us that we should never forget the Ahava that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has for Klal Yisrael. It actually makes enough Gemin in Halacha. I saw a Shaila. Most places on Tisha B'Av have two minyanim for Mincha, like an early Mincha and a late Mincha. And then everyone needs to decide what do they prefer to do. Do they prefer to get Mincha done so they know the Dav Mincha, or do they prefer to save themselves something to do later in the day so therefore they'll be able to get through another half an hour of the day? So it seems like it's just a practical thing. What do you prefer, 2 o'clock Mincha or 8 o'clock Mincha? But Lemaisa, I saw in a sefer called Gamani Oitcho, he writes that actually there's a halachic nafkamina over here because the Fida Koshet Samagid, the Ahava that Kachbor Hashod Klal Yisrael was Le'is Erev, was towards the evening. That's when HaKadosh Baruch Hu was Menachem Klal Yisrael. So therefore he says, Dafka, instead of the normal Zrizim Magdim and the Mitzvahs of putting on your tefillin straight away, maybe it's better to have Mincha Le'is Erev towards the evening, because the tefillin, that's the Hiskarvus that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has for Klal Yisrael. But anyway, moving on, the topic of today's shiur is the Halachos of Zecher L'Churban. So I saw an article written by Rav in America last week. He writes that there's many different Zmanim when it comes to the Halachos of Avelus. Starting from Shavuos Batamuz, some halachas, then Rosh Chodesh of other halachas, then you have Shavuos Shechalboi, and then you have a date, Zayin Ba'av, not so well known. Rosh Chodesh writes that Zayin Ba'av is a time of being more machma, Pimog and Avram. Zayin Ba'av, then you have Erev Tisha B'Av, and then you have Tisha B'Av, and then you have Tisha B'Av after Chatzos, then you have yesterday, which is the 10th of Av, which still has some halachas of Avelis until Chatzos, according to the Ramah. But then that's it. You might think we're over. Today's Tuesday morning. We're finished with the entire halachas of Avelus, and that's it. We can get back into normal mode. Over the emissaries, it's not like that. There are many halachas that apply 365 days a year. So if I can humbly add another time frame, is the entire year the halachas of Zecher L'Churban, halachas that Chazal instituted, whether it's to do with chasanas, whether it's to do with building houses, whether it's to do with halachas of a suda or halachas of music, many halachas that govern a person's life that are all related to do with Zecher L'Churban and the requirement of every single Yid to always remember that there was once a Beis HaMikdash and a Churban HaBayis, and it's something which we're waiting for, not just during these 3 weeks and these 9 days, but something which we always want. So the halachas of Zecher L'Churban can be found in a few places in Shas, but the main Gemara is the Gemara in Bo Basra, the Samach Amud Beis, the last Amud in Perek Chezkas Abatim. And read through the Gemara, and then we're going to discuss together some of the halachos of Zecher L'Churban that apply to every single person the entire year round that are based on this Gemara. The Gemara says as follows, Tana Rabbanon, Kishachar Habayis Ashniya, when the second Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. Rabu Prushim B'Yisrael, there were many Yidden in amongst Klal Yisrael that decided that there's no Beis HaMikdash, Sheilechel Basar Lishasem, we're not going to eat meat, and we're not going to drink wine. How can we eat, not just after the 9 days or the 3 weeks the Shulchan Aruch mentions the minig, the entire year round, we're not going to eat meat, not going to drink wine. And the Gemara says that Rabbi Shua went up to them, and he said, my children, if you're not going to eat meat, and you're not going to drink wine, then why are you not doing so? Well, what's wrong with meat and wine? So they said to him, how can we eat meat? Meat was always given for karbonas. And how can we drink wine? Wine was always used for the nisach hayan, al gabah the mizbeach. What should we do? So Rabbi Shua said, according to your way of thinking, lechem lo noichal, don't eat bread. Because bread was offered up for the menochas and the shkia lechem and the lechem upon him and the korban toida, right? The bread was an essential part of the Beis HaMikdash, so you should stop eating bread. So they said to Rabbi Shua, you're absolutely right. We won't eat bread. So Rabbi Shua says, what will you eat? So they said to Rabbi Shua, we're going to eat fruits. We'll eat fruits and we'll subsist on fruits alone. Said Rabbi Shua after them, don't eat fruit because Bikurim was also fruits. So they said to Rabbi Shua, yeah, but the Bikurim was only from the Shivas Haminim. We have other types of fruits. And therefore we will have to survive without meat and without wine and without bread and without any of the fruits except apples and oranges. So Rabbi Shua said to them, you can't drink water because Nisach HaMayim. And if there's no Beis HaMikdash, there's no Nisach HaMayim, so you can't drink water Bechlal. And now what are you going to do? So the Gemara says Shosku, they kept quiet. They weren't sure how to respond at this point. No meat, no wine, no bread. Many of the fruits are out and no water. So what are they going to do now? So they kept quiet. So Omar Lehen Rabbi Shua said to them, Bona, my children, I'll explain to you. Shaloilis abel kol ike efsha. To cancel avilus totally throughout the year is something which we can't do. Shkvanigzer gzeira chazal put in place, you have to do misabel. Misabel yoisi midai efsha. To do too much avilus is also impossible because shein goizin gzeira tzibu elim kinderev tzibu chaylamid. But you can't oppress Klal Yisrael too much and make too many difficulties. It's impossible to keep these things. Rather, he says, I'm going to give you the guidelines what avilus is good and sufficient, what avilus is too much. And therefore, with that, you'll be able to know exactly what you need to do. And the first halacha that Rabbi Shua taught them, which is brought down halacha in Shulchan Aruch, Siman Tovkuf Samach, which is the siman of Hilchas Avelis nowadays, he says as follows: Elakach Omru Chachomim. This is what the Chachomim said: Sod Adam is Beisu Besid. The person can plaster his house with plaster. U'Meshayeh Bo'Dov Amud. We have to leave a small amount of your house which is not plastered. V'Kamon. How much is that? Omar Rav Yosef. Everyone knows Amal Amar. That's the first halacha which he said, Zecher Churban, which applies the whole year round to every single person. We'll see perhaps soon certain cases which may not apply. But the first halacha which Rabbi Yeshua taught them was that person has to leave an Amar Al Amar, and that is your way of showing the Churban. Now, Bederach Hakdoma to this halacha of leaving an Amar when a person builds a house and when he plasters, he should leave an Amar behind. Kavachaim writes, B'shem Reb Chaim Palaji, B'shem his father. Every single house that had an Amal Amar Kenegad HaPesach Kedinoi, Oz Oysei HaBayis Nochen Ad HaOlam, that house would stay forever. I don't know exactly what it means, but a certain shmir on the house, the Kavachan quotes from Reb Chaim Palaji, that any house was Bodok Menosa, that any house that had an Amal Amar, that house was Nochen Ad HaOlam V'chol HaDorim Oleo, and anyone that lived there also was safe or protected in a house that has an Amal Amar. This is obviously not just a halach from the Gemara Shulchan Aruch, but something which was of importance. But almost important. The Alkut Me'amloi is in Parash Kiseitze. He brings an interesting story. He says there was once a Yid who had a lot of money, but not so much Torah knowledge. And he built for himself a beautiful house, and he didn't leave an Amal Amar. And the person traveled away, and that night, the hotel, the inn where he was staying, they heard him screaming and crying, and they ran to his room and they asked him, well, what happened? Why are you shouting so loudly? So he said, I had a very scary dream. So what dream did he have? He said, I had a dream that I was in Yerushalayim and the Beis HaMikdash was burning, and all the Tzadikei HaDori, the Gedolei HaDori, were sitting there and crying and screaming and lamenting the Churban HaBayis. And therefore, in my dream, I joined them. And I ended up crying so loudly that I woke myself up. So they said to him, you know, just calm down and relax. That was a story from thousands of years ago. At that time, it was hundreds of years ago. And, you know, a dream is just a dream. And, you know, go back to sleep. It might have really bothered him. What was this dream all about? And why did he have this strange dream? When he came back home, he went to a Talmud Chacham, the Alkem Emloya says, and he asked the Talmud Chacham, what's pshat in this strange dream that I had? The Talmud Chacham said, I don't know. He went to his house, he looked around, and he said, you don't have an Amal Amma. And the Gemara says that someone who the Beis HaMikdash isn't rebuilt in his day, it's as if it's been destroyed in his time. And if you're not Mas'abel on Yerushalayim properly, then it's as if there's been a Churban in your time. And because of that, that's the dream which you had. So the Yalkim Emloi says, we see from here that this is a din godl, the importance of the Amal Amma from this dream that this person had to wake him up and make sure that he... At Kedei Kach, there's a story in Seif Halichas Chaim, the Klos Megarev, as Atzal brings a Maisa, that the Divrei Chaim of Tzanz, Reb Hillel Kolomaya was a Talmud of the Chassan Sofer, once went to visit the Divrei Chaim of Tzanz, and he knocked on the door, and he opened the door, and he looked straight, he said, I'm not coming into your house. He said, why not? So he said, because you don't have an Amal Amma. And if you don't have an Amal Amma, then I refuse to come in. So the Divrei Chaim immediately took a ladder or step ladder, and he climbed up, and he cut away from the plaster an Amal Amma, and then Reb Hillel Kolomaya was willing to cross the threshold and come into the house of the Divrei Chaim. The Klos Megarev, when he quotes the story, says, nowadays such a story would never happen, because the Talmidim of the Divrei Chaim, if it would be a Rebbe today, he says the Talmidim of the Rebbe would start fighting for the kavod of their Rebbe. How dare the visiting Rav not come in and question the practices of our Rebbe? And so it wouldn't, nowadays it wouldn't go down so, but in those times, the Talmidim, yeah, if that's what the visiting Rav wants, then they just stood back and let the Divrei Chaim go and peel off. As Kedei Kach, he didn't want to step foot into the house of the Divrei Chaim. In Lamaisa, we do find the Achronim from the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch and the Shai Tshuva, the Tzlach. Many of them ask the question that we find that this din is semi-forgotten amongst Klal Yisrael. There are many, many people and many, many houses that don't bechlal do the Amal Amma. The Shai Tshuva writes a Loshen, Ach bedoiris elu yotze lehokel. Nowadays, everyone's mekel. Vehikilu, the more mekel. Vechozu vehikilu, the even more mekel. Ad shekemat nishkach milev. It's kemat a forgotten halacha. Vein al-mali shoy. They have nothing to rely on. How can it be that people don't do an Amal Amma, the Tzlach, in the Gemara Brochos also says the same thing. He says, if I'd have the koyach, I would talk about it and shout about it. People don't listen, they don't want to know, they don't want to hear. But it's Aruch HaShulchan writes, it's something which is more or less forgotten. It's an interesting thing. Why is it that way? Why is it that this is a forgotten halacha, somewhat? I don't know if nowadays maybe it's been somewhat of a revival, but it's a forgotten halacha amongst Klal Yisrael. There's a chiyuv, Shulchan Aruch, Gemara, of Mishachar Beis HaMikdash, Tiknu Chachomim, Shoyeb Ois HaDoi, She'im Boinu Le'olim Binyan, Mesuyah de Mechuyah, Toch beis betit, amal amma, right? Belishum choyle. So, yeah, right. So we'll discuss soon if it's a dafka if you build it, what if someone's renting, what if you buy the house, right? So let's talk about someone who's building a house from ground floor up, or maybe even nowadays from the basement up, all the way up four floors, and there's no amal amma, there's no zeichel lechor. So there are for sure there's three or four different reasons that achronim give, b'toyas limut schos, why the builder's not so makpid on amal amma. The first is, and perhaps the strongest, Aruch HaShulchan. Aruch HaShulchan writes, based on the sugi then in Bar Basra, the Samach Amud Beis, the Gemara says there that this halacha only applies, at least according to one braisa, shalas if you paskan or not, but this halacha only applies if a person plasters his house with pure sid, with pure, I think sid means lime or cement, without mixing any plaster, without mixing anything else into it. If a person dilutes the sid with straw, or with sand, then it's not so pure. Rashbam says, therefore, it's not so white, and it's not so beautiful, and therefore there'd be no chiyuv. And Aruch HaShulchan says that nowadays, the plaster which we use is not the same plaster as it was in the times of Chazal, and it's mixed in with sand, and it's mixed in with straw, and therefore, could be a reason why the velt don't do this amal amma, because the plaster is different. Mishavur actually says this, v'yesh mekinin ala dechoil, there are those that if they mix sand into the plaster, the sphere they hold, that if there's sand mixed in, then it's not called sid anymore, and therefore, nowadays that we're mekel, efshim shim desoimchin al yesh mekinin, it could be that we're soimach on that. The Maaseh, the person say you have to know the Metzias. Is it really that way that the plaster we do nowadays is different? I'm not in building, and I don't really understand exactly how plastering and cement and lime and exactly how it all works. But I did see Sefer Kopinas Hamikdash brings from the Shor Metzion and Balocha that nowadays this heter wouldn't apply because we do have pure seed and they don't mix chaylin. I'm not sure exactly the Metzias, but that's one limud zchus of the Aruch HaShulchan, another limud zchus. He writes it mamash as a pashtas. That if the cement used isn't pure, or the plastering used isn't 100% pure, then it would be a heter not to do the amal amen. The second limud zchus, or heter perhaps, why, or reason that the poskim can give why people don't do the amal amen, even if they're mechuyev to, is Ochus Chaim writes as follows, Ochus Chaim from Spink, he says as follows. So just like by Ner Chanukah, we find that Be'etzim Takonas Chazal was to light the menorah. By Pesach Beisim Yivachot, the person has to light the menorah by the entrance to the chotzer, or by the entrance of the house by the chotzer, and all that everyone should be able to see. Nowadays, everyone lights the menorah inside because of the goyim, and because the goyim might break the menorah, and we're scared of the goyim, therefore we light indoors, and that takana has remained. So he says the same thing is nowadays, says the Ochus Chaim, he says the goyim are very makbid, that people's houses should look nice and clean, and masuda. We think we have a struggle with planning and with zoning, that the council are marked with exactly how the house looks. That's only on the outside. But in the times of the Ochus Chaim, even on the inside, they cared exactly how your house looked. And he said, because the goyim don't let our houses in the inside look a certain way and has to look nice, therefore we've left this halacha behind, just like the halacha of lighting the menorah on the street. But again, this heter is a heter only applies if that's actually the metzias on the ground. The Oz Nidbru writes that nowadays there's no council or no government really cares what the inside of your house looks like. Maybe they care what the outside of your house looks like. They don't care what the inside of your house looks like. So again, this would be a limud zchus that perhaps definitely wouldn't apply nowadays according to the Metzias. The third limud zchus is in a footnote to the Nittig Avriel, he brings from someone called Yisrael Yitzchok Pekarski, who was a Rav in Poland before the war and then a Rav in Chabad after the war. And he says a very big chiddush, which nobody else says, and that is that perhaps this halacha only applies in Eretz Yisrael. Meaning the whole chiyuv to do zechel churban and to leave an amal ama, maybe it only applies in Eretz Yisrael, but it doesn't apply in Chutz Laaretz, and that's why in Chutz Laaretz we find that many people will make it in this halacha. And the Maaseh is a very shver avot, and the reason is because there are some achronim that say the exact opposite. That if anything, this halacha only applies to Chutz La'aretz and doesn't apply to Eretz Yisrael. Ma'asho writes that someone who lives in Chutz La'aretz and builds for himself a house in Chutz La'aretz with such a permanent structure, he's even finished every last bit, then it shows he's happy in Chutz La'aretz. For the Ma'asho, it would seem that it's halacha that applies dafka in Chutz La'aretz, not in Eretz Yisrael. And they quote a Medrash Talpia, he also says, Kesheboina b'chutz la'aretz, Yeshaya amal amah. So many poskim are cholik and they hold that the halacha applies across the world. But to say it only applies in Eretz Yisrael and not in Chutz La'aretz, that's connected to the pashtas. So the pashtas was that it applies in Chutz La'aretz even more so than in Eretz Yisrael. There were those that were mekel in Yerushalayim. They held in Yerushalayim, you don't need an amal ama because Yerushalayim is your mamish in the mokam achruben itself. Maybe that only applies to the old city, the Holy Shlam, but some had the custom in Shlam itself, they didn't do the Amal Amah. But Akaponim, these are the three different reasons why some people don't do the Amal Amah.
So I heard a suggestion that if you hang a picture of the Koto
on the... So we're going to touch upon that. We'll come to that, maybe the different ways of doing the Amal Amah. But these are the three reasons why some people don't do the Amal Amah, is either because the cement nowadays is different, or because of Chutz La'aretz, or... The second reason was because the goyim perhaps care, but they don't, but maybe at some point in history they cared what the inside of the house looks like.
Once somebody's plastered, they're
probably taking it off again. So we're going to come to that, hopefully, in a few moments. So a few different halachas been again to the actual doing the al-amah, if someone is actually going to do it, like the pashas of the halacha. So first of all, we know the sheer amah, machlokes, chazanish, upchaim noah, is an amah 48 centimeters, or is an amah 58 centimeters, and the post can say, the Mishnah Berurah says in Hilchos Pesach, that whenever you have a machlokes in Shiurim, if it's a Drabonon, one could be Mekel. So therefore the Amal Amah, you don't have to do like a massive Chazanish Amah, so like Fisher says, it's enough to do a small Amah because it's a Din Drabonon, it's not a Din Deraisa, therefore you can do a small Amah. But here's a Chiddush from the Prima Godim, which is very interesting, and will come to answer perhaps the question about, can you just put a picture of the Kosel up, or a work of art that reminds you of Imeshkoch Yerushalayim, like some people have hanging up. Prima Godim has the following Shaila. He says, what happens if somebody doesn't want to do an amal amr? He wants to do a half amr by two amrs. So he'll do the same square, the same area of an amr, al amr. But rather than doing an amal amr, he'll do half by two, or maybe he'll do a circle. Is the amal amr, does it have to be mamish amal amr or not? And the Prima Gordon writes that has to be an amal amr. You can't do half amrs by two amrs. Probably he's going on the Lashon of the Gemara. Chazal said amal amr, and the Shulchan Aruch says amal amr. And he's probably going with that was Takonas Chazal, and therefore we can't come along and change and do anything different than Takonas Chazal, which is amal amr. Now, interestingly, there are two.
Is it not got to leave it unplastered or without wallpaper?
So the poet's going to say that if a person is doing wallpaper, then he should leave wallpaper. If a person is hanging drapes, he should leave drapes. Well, amal amr. If a person is plastering and painting, he should leave behind plaster and paint. The shad is, do you have to go as deep as mamash seeing the bricks, or is it enough to just put the first layer of whatever goes on, but not the next layer? In the Namukar Khan from the Munkacha, he writes, some will makrit mamash to go all the way to the bricks, others will makel.
Wallpaper's enough, surely.
Just to leave behind the wallpaper. Without what goes underneath the wallpaper?
Plaster.
And what's behind the plaster?
Brick.
So maybe. I'm not sure. So this is the Prima Gordon. We have to have an Amal Amr exact. Now, there are two Achronim that seem to say Mamish quite different than this. First, a very interesting story by Pichas Karatzer. In Nir Pichas says the following Maisa. Someone once went to visit the Pichas Karatzer, and he saw he had very nice windows, and the one window that he had was a smaller size. So he said to him, why do you have one window that's a smaller size? So he said, I've got a window that's a smaller size. I said, why not? It doesn't look nice. Everything should look nice and should look the same. Uniform. So Rapinus Karas said, I daf could do this with Zeichel Chorban. He says, if an Amal Amr is Zeichel Chorban, this is even better than Zeichel Chorban. I've got a small window. Or Chasholchan says something similar. Or Chasholchan writes, some people had the Mindig, Mishabur quotes, they used to paint the Amal Amr black. So they didn't leave it unplastered, they painted it black. They would write on it Zeichel Chorban or Imesh Kochich. Or they'd write something on it. And Rosh Hashanah says this doesn't fit with Chazal. Chazal say you leave an Amal Amr unplastered, not painted black or with something else on top. But Rosh Hashanah says that if it's a Zeichel Chorban, who cares if it's this kind of Zeichel Chorban or that kind of Zeichel Chorban? Ma'alonu imkoi ve'imkoi. A Zeichel Chorban is a Zeichel Chorban. So from the Prima Gordon, it's clear that no, there's very clear parameters. An Amal Amr, and you can't come up with your own version. That's what Chazal said. But from this story of Pichas Karatzer and from the Achash Shulchan, it would seem that they held that any kind of Zeichel Chorban would perhaps be enough, even if it doesn't quite fit with the strict parameters, or the literal words of Chazal, of an Amal Amr. So I was wondering, perhaps, and he asked about what happens if somebody hangs up a picture of the Koisel. According to the strict letter of the law, then no, it has to be mamish and amal, literally unplastered. But according to this story of the Prichas Karatzer, not that we can pass it from a story, but just the halacha v'lo lemaisa, if it's enough to do any kind of change, according to the Lashon of Aruch HaShulchan, that mali koi, what's the difference if it's this way or that way, then maybe even hanging up a picture or hanging something up would also be good enough for amal amr. I'll discuss another shayla when we get to the amal amr that people have asked. What if somebody is it only if you build the house, or if you're renting? So if you remember the story of the Divrei Chaim, we said before, Rabbi Hillel Kolomad didn't want to go into his house because he hadn't done the amal amr. Well, why didn't he do the amal amr? That's the question that really needs to be asked. So in Shuvas Kinyan Toyo, he writes, we see from here the Divrei Chaim also held one could be makel, perhaps one of the reasons which we mentioned earlier, you don't need to do the amal amr. Otherwise, he would have done it. The Divrei Chaim didn't need the Rabbi Hillel Kolomad to remind him that he needed to have an amal amr. So some say that no, it's not right from there, because the Divrei Chaim lived in a rented house. The Shaila wonders if someone lives in a rented house. But Rav Moshe Feinstein and others take on, if you live in a rented house, the house is not yours, you don't have any right to go and take off the Amal Amr, and therefore, the Divrei Chaim had no chiyuv be'etzem. Als covered for the visiting Rav, he decided, the Rav said, do an Amal Amr. So he listened without asking any questions. But technically speaking, if somebody lives in a rented house, then you won't be mechuyuv to do an Amal Amr. The Gemara says the same thing. If somebody buys a house, then this depends if he bought it off a Yid or off a Goy. If he bought it off a Yid that the Yid built, then the Yid himself should have made an Amal Amr.
Right.
And if the Yid himself should have made an Amal Amr and didn't make an Amal Amr, then he should have, if he didn't do it, peeled off and created an Amal Amr. And if he didn't do it, then when you come and take over the ownership of the house, you now are mechuyev to do the Amal Amr, just like that Yid was mechuyev to do the Amal Amr. Mashenkin, if a person buys a house off a goy that the goy himself built, so the goy was never mechuyev to do an amal ama, and therefore when you come in, you're also not mechuyev. You're only mechuyev to do an amal ama if you build a house, or the Shaar Tshuva says if you're replastering the house, or you're building the house, or if you bought it off a yid that should have done it himself, then in those cases a person would be mechuyev to do the amal ama. If a person bought it off a goy, and the goy was never mechuyev to do it, then in that case he wouldn't be mechuyev to do the amal ama.
Why? He's the owner now.
It's true, he's the owner, because that's a dafka boiner by someone who builds a house. So therefore, if you're the builder, or the builder himself was he that should have done it, then the chiv remains. But if you're not a boiner by, then you're not mechuyev to do the amal amal. Hashem, interesting shayla. Because the chiv is boiner, if you're building. Someone who builds a house, Chazal pa'aloch, and you have to keep an amal amal. And if you didn't, then unpeel. But if you are not the one who built it yourself, and it wasn't a yid that was mechuyev to do it, then Chazal didn't put a chiv on you.
The goyim are building it, and you're not the person who's building it. So what do you say? He's not building?
So that's you. You're the goyim building it. If you're paying them and ask them to do it, then you're building the house. Just because you're not the one who technically puts the bricks down, you're the one building the house. It's your house that you're building. Unpeeling only, if you're mechuyev to and never did it, then you have to unpeel and go, you have to knock the whole house down, you have to unpeel and go back to Zeshe Mishabura. Now the Ashay is as follows. Somebody buys a house off a goy, he never did an amal amah, so he doesn't need to. What happens if he suddenly builds a back extension? Or he suddenly builds a back room? Or even let's say, what happens if he unplasters one room and then he decides to replaster just the kitchen? The Chayra, I'm assuming, it'd have to do an Amal Amma, even in that back room. Shulchan Aruch says that the Amal Amma belongs opposite the door. And Mishnah Berurah says some people say above the door, some people say in the lounge where people sit most, but it's not pshat that that's the only place where there's a chiv to do. Some even hold there's a chiv in every single room in the house. But Yeved, it's not better than the minhag, because if it wasn't Noeg Azay to do in every single room in the house. But it's not pshat, the chiv is only opposite the door. That's the best place of putting it. But if somebody didn't put the Amal Amma there because it was built when he came, all he's doing is adding one back house. I don't see why. I don't know. I'm wondering. I don't see why he wouldn't be mechuyev to leave an Amal Amma in the new room, which is now building, because that's now boy nabas. That's now an Amal Amma which he is leaving for himself. The stipler, we'll finish off with this, the stipler in Ochas Chaim, in Ochas Rabbeinu, he has a big chiddush. The stipler says that, you know, the Amal Amma could be covered. You don't have to leave it uncovered and on show. So for example, if somebody wants to put furniture there, or a bookcase he wants to leave over there. So the stipler says, if it's built into the wall, then you've covered up the Amal Amma, and then you don't have an Amal Amma anymore. But if it's something which is movable, then that's okay, because you still got the Amal Amma. And Rabbi Yashiv and others asked him, the stipler is a big chiddush, because we said the Amal Amma should be at a place where people see it most. It should be opposite the doorway, or it should be above your head, or it should be in the lounge where people are sitting most. It should be a place where people are able to see the Amal Amma. But Al Kaponim, if it's in a place where you can't see it because it's totally and utterly covered, then why should that work as a zeichel l'churban? Chiddush of the stipler. Others disagree and say it has to be tucked in a place that's not. So to go back to that question, can you just hang up a sign? The pashas has to be mamash and amal amma left unplastered. And if you have an amal amma unplastered to cover it with the sign, perhaps according to the stipler it'd be okay. Others say you have to be able to actually visualize and be able to see. The ik is that we should live with a memory that there was once a Beis HaMikdash and there was a churban, and we're not living complete lives. And even though we've moved away from Tisha B'Av and moved away from the 9 days, we have to remember that our lives are not fully complete. And im eshkachach Yerushalayim tishkach yemini, im loy ale es Yerushalayim al rosh simchosi. This pasuk doesn't only apply to simcha, literally. Mishnah Berurah says, based on the Gemara, applies any time a person does something of simcha, including building a house, not dafka b'chasanas, any time a person does something of simcha, then he should remember that our simcha isn't fully complete until Yerushalayim comes, and dafka then, when we have a Beis HaMikdash, will be ozim olis chag pino shenenir, and that's when we'll be able to laugh and have the final simcha mitzvashem, v'viyaskar tzedek mehev yameinu
amen.
Amen.
Shkoyach.
Shkoyach.
So some say mamash opposite, like when you come in, but not always is it practical, because you don't always have a wall opposite you. So some say to the side, people want to put to the side when you come in, or opposite or to the side.
Tomorrow she is at 9:20 upstairs.
Sorry?
So some took it as a rented house, it wasn't his own house. It was rented and he wasn't going to do it.
He still did it.
Who said the love guy? Who's the love guy?
What, governing services? Mining services?
Surveying services.
Surveying services.
Yeah, but for some things you should maybe try and pay him so he's happy to unless he goes to Kulis, that nowadays our class is not the same as the class of Chazal, and it's not as white as it used to be, and it's mixed in.